Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
All right, friends, we're back second hour today of Political Coffee, where you hopefully find some value in what we talk about. I mean, and I really mean that. You know, this... I just had my birthday, right? I just turned 62. Life is too short for me to waste my time just bloviating, which is why I try to provide value in this radio show in some form every day so that you come away listening and think that you've hopefully been enriched in some way or encouraged or frankly given the tools to take your political activism to the next level so that you can not only protect what is important to you, your inalienable rights, but frankly that of others, and that you can help other people come to a different place in their soul and their spirit when it comes to the concepts of liberty. Because ultimately, that's what this is all about, friends. And I mean this. This is what it's all about. America is that shining city on the hill. And it's because we are a constitutional republic. But as Franklin said to the woman, after they were leaving the Constitutional Convention, who asked him if we had a republic or a monarchy, he said, a republic, if you can keep it, which is precisely what we're going to talk about next. And that is, well, the constitutional protections afforded you that don't allow government to infringe on your rights. Now, we just did that with this Missouri County, the Second Amendment Sanctuary ordinance that was passed that takes it to the highest level, where they literally authorize the arrest of federal agents who violate Second Amendment provisions in both the U.S. Constitution and the Missouri Constitution, right? But it also authorizes the arrest of any other law enforcement person, like state, or even at the county level or city level, who participates with the federal government in such unconstitutional infringements of the Second Amendment. Now, this is how we push back. At the county level. In Oregon, folks, we're doing this already. Maybe not quite this far. But the sanctuary, the Second Amendment sanctuary ordinances that have been passed in Oregon have been brought forward not by county commissioners, folks, generally. Although I think it has in a couple of instances. It's mostly been brought forward by the people in the county as a county referendum. They do that by gathering signatures. This is how you push back, folks. And it is based on the rule of law. The U.S. Constitution is based on Oregon's Constitution. And again, this Yamhill County commissioners did the same thing, not on the Second Amendment, but on pushing back, saying about Kate's unlawful, unconstitutional COVID lockdown orders. That basically, you can't come into our county and enforce them. Good for them. You have a lot more ability to call your county commissioner and influence their thinking than you realize. Believe me, you do. And they have a lot of impact. Now, I need to tell you all that I've made a mistake. The Chris Ann Hall event at the River Church is not this weekend. It is the following weekend. My bad. I'm a week ahead of myself. I'm sorry. It's the weekend of the 19th and the 20th. That is not this weekend. Right? My bad. But you still should go, and it doesn't diminish the importance of understanding what your rights are. So you still need to get signed up. Go to theriverNW.com. Pastor Lou Wu-Tan will be on with Stacey Ann, I think, on Thursday to talk about it. So it is theriverNW.com. Get signed up. It's specifically slanted towards businesses, but believe me, your individual rights are going to be included in it also. Now, we also talked a little bit about why are Democrats exploiting women? Why are Democrats in the legislature pushing a bill that hurts women? Legalizing prostitution, House Bill 3088. Why would anybody do such a thing? Because that's the outcome of legalizing prostitution. Look at the New York Post article that's in the Oregon Catalyst article about this. It's irrefutable evidence, folks. All it's going to do is further exploit and hurt women. All right. Some of the voter fraud evidence in the Mike Lindell video, especially that which is at the very end, is pretty profound in what it shows. Where's the underlying data? That's the question I came away with. And Larry Johnson writes a second piece about this. You know, we talked yesterday about the piece he wrote in the Gateway Pundit. And he's got a follow-up piece today. It says, a closer look at hammer and scorecard. And I want you to pay particular attention to this. Because it's not just this data that is the important part of this article. It's what Larry Johnson refers to out of Edward Snowden's book. Now, Snowden is both a traitor and a patriot, in my opinion. What he revealed is, and still is, incredibly damaging to our national security. It was the wrong thing to do. He also revealed the right things, in that our government is unconstitutionally spying on us. And in this article, you're going to hear about, from his book, X Key Score, which tracks everything you do. And that, friends, without a warrant, is patently unconstitutional. So Larry Johnson's piece has all of this data flow. If you saw that at 1 hour and 47 minutes, you see this pin appear in Oregon, and you see data not going to China, but you see it going straight over the North Pole. Janice Deisinger, I was on a call with her yesterday because we're working on this voter integrity project here in Oregon along with Representative Mike Nierman. And she had seen earlier in the day some additional representation of this in a video, and she couldn't find it after she saw it the first time, wondering, of course, if it's been tracked and taken down or she's been blocked from it. In it, it shows several locations in Oregon where there was data flow going to Europe. Eastern Europe, as a matter of fact. Okay. So it may not be just one county. It may be several counties. So I've asked Mary Fanning, who is the source of this information with the American Report. I've asked her by email. I sent an email, and it was Friday, asking for the data. What data can they give us? If we're going to have confidence in Oregon's voter integrity, we need to find that out. Because if she's got the data, I want to know where I can go get the data. All she has to do, by the way, is point us to where it is. Now, let's talk about this. If we've been led to believe, this is what Larry Johnson writes, that hammer and scorecard were used to steal the election for Biden, I regret to inform you the claim is suspect. This doesn't mean I'm siding with rhinos like Romney and Barr, who deny there was any fraud. That, too, is false. Donald Trump was robbed. He did not lose the election. Okay? So that's the preface of everything else I'm going to read you. None of what I'm going to read you changes the county level data, especially in Pennsylvania and Georgia, that shows Donald Trump losing votes. That's still out there. That happened. None of this changes any of the other voter fraud things. People voting who are underage, dead people voting, just go on and on and on. None of that changes that. And that's what he's saying here. However, with this particular point, he's going to make a powerful case. We need to be very suspect of this data. And here's why. He writes, so far, there is significant circumstantial evidence. There is evidence of unusual amounts of internet traffic between foreign locations and the United States. But we do not have any tangible, verifiable evidence showing votes switched via a command or intervention from a foreign server. Bingo. That's the evidence I want to see. He continues. Investigations continue to ferret out what happened, and these efforts may produce such proof. Okay, fair enough. What we do know with certainty is that there was unusually large numbers of adjudicated ballots in a few key counties. That there was ballot stuffing, that counterfeit ballots were counted, that the Dominion voting machines in Antrim County, Michigan, failed to accurately record the actual number of votes for Donald Trump. We know all of that. This brings me to Mary Fanning's segment in the Mike Lindell-produced video, Absolute Proof. Mary Fanning claims to have evidence that foreign servers, including locations in China and Iran, were changing vote totals in specific counties. Unfortunately, she has not published any of this alleged evidence. You just have to trust her. But I dug into the information she's relying on and learned that her source is Dennis Montgomery. Now, you can click on Montgomery and you can learn more. He has a checkered past. Now, I've also talked about Dennis Montgomery. He is one of the guys who designed Hammer. Okay. He is under a gag order under a federal law, and Judge Royce Lamberth of D.C. has partially lifted that, which is how he's been able to do some interviews. However, what I'm going to read to you next causes you to have some suspicion. Back in a moment at 7:20.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
/722. We'll get back to this story in a moment, but I need to get to the phones. Good morning, caller. Who are you? What do you have to say?
It's Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Okay, so we're talking about the prostitution in Oregon.
Yes.
Being legalized. Okay. I don't understand one thing that Democrats do, honestly. What this reminds me of is during President Trump's administration, they were so pro-Islam. So pro-Islam. But you can beat your wife. You can do anything you want because she's property. You can marry 10-year-olds. But they were singing the praises of Islam. So, and they were totally ignoring any misogyny or crimes against women. So, this is just one more thing to me. They don't make any sense at all.
Well, agreed. And I, you know, to be fair, George Bush, remember, W came out after the 9/11 attacks and said, Islam is the religion of peace. Generally speaking, no, it isn't. And if you read the Quran, it is anything but. So
right.
It doesn't surprise me that we would have the honor killings that have happened in America. That's murder.
I know.
You go on and on and on. I can't imagine this coming out of Christianity. I just can't.
No.
But
no
your
religion.
Understanding why Democrats do what they do. Well, they're generally a fairly godless bunch. Not entirely, but there's a lot of them that are. And the government is their god.
Sorry.
No, go on.
I was just going to say, it's senseless. Even I was listening to, I don't know, some show, and they were talking to a Satanist, and or Wiccan, or whatever it is, and they said, do what you will, but don't hurt anybody. That's their tagline, I guess. So, even common sense tells you that hurting people is bad. I don't think you have to be particularly religious to believe that.
No, you're absolutely right. Hurting people is bad. And when you pass a law that legalizes prostitution, you're going to not stop illegal prostitution activity. And that's what the New York Post story talks about. You actually increase it.
Is that what they're trying to solve?
Yes.
Or do they just want part of the money?
Well, of course. Yeah, government can never be big enough for a Democrat. Government can never extract enough money in taxes and fees from the people because it is, as Mark Levin says, it is the Leviathan that can never be satisfied. And that is true.
Yeah.
And it's time. Okay. And the only way we stop it is to put our foot down at the local level and right on up at the state level. Thanks, Kathy. I appreciate it.
Okay,
back
bye.
To Larry Johnson's piece here. Montgomery, Dennis Montgomery, and if you click on the link in the story, you go to the American Report, which talks about who he is. CIA contractor. He's been muzzled, the gag order, under the state secrets privilege and government protective order. So he hasn't been able to talk much about it. Judge Royce Lamberth did lift some of that. At any rate, if Montgomery really is the source of this data that is the latter part of the absolute proof video by Mike Lindell, then you should be a little bit suspect. Because here's what Larry writes. Montgomery software claims were, and this is from another publication. Montgomery software claims were reportedly responsible for a false terror alert which grounded international flights and caused Department of Homeland Security Tom Ridge to raise the government security level. In 06, the FBI and the U.S. Air Force Office of Special Investigations opened an economic espionage and theft of intellectual property investigation into Montgomery and Blixware. Blixware was a company, another contractor. Now, you always have to be suspect of these kinds of claims also. Because, yes, government agencies spy and use their ability to intimidate citizens trying to do the right thing. Hello, Russian dossier and FISA court abuse with Donald Trump. Anyway, in court papers filed in Los Angeles, a former lawyer from Montgomery calls the software designer a habitual liar engaged in fraud. Last June, Montgomery was charged in Las Vegas with bouncing 9 checks totaling $1 million in September of 2008 and was arrested on a felony warrant in Rancho Mirage, California. That million is only a portion of what he lost in 5 casinos in Nevada and California in just 1 year. The guy's a big-time gambler, apparently. The FBI's investigated, and some of his own co-workers say he staged phony demonstrations of military technology for the U.S. government. Now, he then goes on, so he's impugned Dennis Montgomery, who other people that are impugnable, like Dr. Bill Binney, who was also an NSA contractor, and others who designed other programs, much of it revealed by Edward Snowden, they don't say these things about him. But then he gets to Mary Fanning. And he says that Fanning is wrong. That scorecard and hammer and scorecard are the weapons used against us into an illegal domestic surveillance tool. Larry Johnson says that's wrong. We'll get into that when we come back, because that gets us to X key score, which ought to scare the living daylights out of you. Don't go away. Come on and sing my song.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back, friends, 24 minutes till the top of the hour. Look, first of all, before I go any further in this article in the Gateway Pundit about the Mike Lindell video and Mary Fanning, let me say this. I don't know who Larry Johnson is. The Gateway Pundit doesn't, he's a contributor. Okay, so what's his biography and who is he? Now, he could very well, and he doesn't, by the way, cite the source of some of what I just read you, which makes me a little suspect there about his motivations and intentions for doing this. Remember, with every great deception, there's always an element of truth, right? So could that be what's going on here? Misdirection? Who knows? But even so, he brings up some very good points, and I'm going to get into those in a moment here, including a comment from one of the readers of this article, which says that Mary Fanning's list of counties and computer addresses isn't correct. It doesn't match up. Interesting. I also want to thank, by the way, ProBioscience for being a company based in Salem here that produces these great CBD products that, well, they make my life better. That's for sure. I sleep better when I take the tincture under my tongue before I go to bed at night. And believe me, when the pain stick, and you know, when my muscles are sore from just doing things I do, it really helps. Your body responds positively to CBD. And if you've not used it and you want to maybe get out of pain or maybe sleep better or some of these great beauty products now, you can soak in the bath salt, CBD infusion there. They've got the night cream for you ladies. All of that is available from a source you can trust. There's a lot of CBD products out there, folks. And a lot of it comes from cheap Chinese isolate. And who knows what's in that stuff? Well, you can have great confidence that the products from ProBioscience are the highest quality products there are, because they only use Oregon-grown CBD. And Oregon has the toughest standards of any state out there. I know I grew hemp for CBD oil, and I had to comply with those. Plus, they're a Salem company that you can call and you can talk to Jen. You can learn about everything that they do. And you can have great confidence that you're getting exactly what they say you're getting. Go on the internet and check out all of their great product lines. Go to pro-bioscience.com. Pro-bioscience.com. And if you buy anything online, use the discount code Valentine and you get 15% off. For the month of February, use the discount code Valentine. Plus, they have a great rewards program, referral program that can save you even more. Pro-bioscience.com. So, Larry Johnson's piece here, again, I'm a little suspect of what he's even writing here, simply because he's not listing his source, at least in the criticism of Dennis Montgomery. But he also says that Fanning is wrong, that Hammer has been a tool of foreign surveillance until February 2009, which, by the way, is, in fact, what's on her American Report website. And you can click to that because the link is in the article here. He says at which time John Brennan and Clapper commandeered Hammer and turned it against America by transforming the Hammer into an illegal domestic surveillance tool. One of Hammer's applications, an election cyberware weapon known as Scorecard. Then Larry Johnson says Fanning is wrong. Well, he's not producing why she's wrong. He says instead, this is the part I want you to focus on that is scary. The real domestic surveillance tool was revealed in the summer of 2013 by Edward Snowden. NSA developed a massive array of domestic surveillance tools, and it was used on Americans well before 2009. That is true, but it doesn't refute the fact that Mary Fanning is saying that the Hammer is being used as an illegal domestic surveillance tool. Now, I know this part of what Larry Johnson is saying is correct. And I'll tell you why I know, because I know it from Diane Rourke, from Staten, who has been publicly out there. She is from Sublimity. She has a PhD. She had a career back in Washington, D.C. She had the highest levels of security clearances in the House Intelligence Committee for years. She was in charge of oversight on black programs, including many of these programs. She found illegal use. She brought it to leadership, including a friend of hers working in the Bush White House, including Pelosi, and nobody wanted anything to do with it. She resigned and retired, a civil servant. She told me these programs were illegally being used against Americans back in 2002. So that part of what Larry Johnson is saying is correct. Anyway, he goes on to talk about one of the most alarming is called X Key Score. Snowden describes it at length in his autobiography. Here's what it is. The program that enabled this access was called X Key Score, which is perhaps best understood as a search engine that lets an analyst search through all the records of your life. Let that sink in for a moment. Imagine a kind of Google that instead of showing pages from the public internet returns results from your private email, your private chats, your private files, everything. Though I'd read enough about the program to understand how it worked, I hadn't yet used it, and I realized I ought to know more about it. By pursuing X Key Score, I was looking for a personal confirmation of the depths of the NSA's surveillance intrusions. Kind of confirmation you don't get from documents, but only from direct experience. The NSA described X Key Score in the documents I'd later passed to journalists as its widest-ranging tool. Used to search, quote, nearly everything a user does on the internet, unquote. The technical specs I studied went into more detail as to exactly how this is accomplished by packetizing and sessionizing or cutting up the data of a user's online sessions into manageable packets for analysis. But nothing could prepare me for seeing it in action. It was, simply put, the closest thing to science fiction I'd ever seen in science fact. An interface that allows you to type in pretty much anyone's address, telephone number, or IP address, and then basically go through the recent history of their online activity. In some cases, you could even play back recordings of their online sessions so that the screen you'd be looking at was their screen, whatever was on their desktop. You could read their emails, their browser history, their search history, their social media postings, everything. You could set up notifications that would pop up when some person or some device you were interested in became active on the internet for the day. And you could look through the packets of internet data to see a person's search queries appear letter by letter, since so many sites transmitted each character as it was typed. It was like watching an autocomplete as letters and words flashed across the screen. This is from an excerpt from his permanent record. There's the link to it, by the way. You can read it yourself. So, X Key Score is one of many programs that is likely unconstitutionally reading your emails. Now, some of this information that X Key Score allows anybody to find is public. Others, like your emails, are not. For a government official to access that, they would have to have a warrant. That's unconstitutional. It's unreasonable search and seizure. Jim Hoff continues, or Larry Johnson, that Montgomery is not the whistleblower. It's Edward Snowden. Okay, fine. But then he comes back to Mary Fanning's information, the image of the data. It appears quite impressive, he writes, and if true, it's damning. How was it obtained? I cannot think of a legal way such intelligence could be obtained by a private citizen. Was it leaked by someone in the NSA? Did Dennis Montgomery grab it using classified tools he is not legally entitled to possess? Was this provided by someone tied to a foreign government intelligence service, or is it fabricated? Then he writes, but there are some very specific questions that need to be answered. Here's what they are. And I agree with this, by the way. Listen. Was it collected? It appears a node that only the NSA or the CIA has was employed to capture and identify activities specifically targeting county election centers across the United States. I'm not aware of any private company with the capability to collect and sort this kind of data without access to a classified system. I'm not sure he's right about that. I think there are. But it's a fair question to ask. Number two, were the people producing this information using scorecard? If so, that's another red flag. It was collected illegally and cannot be used as evidence in a court case. This is a very important point. For evidence to be admissible, even in civil or criminal action, you must know the chain of custody. You must be able to defend it against any challenge that the information was obtained outside legal challenges. There's more, and I'll get back to it in a moment at 7:40.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Two more questions that Larry Johnson poses here that I think are worthy of consideration. With Mary Fanning's data that is shown in the video at the end, where it supposedly shows the data flow, where it went to, the IP addresses, county level stuff, and he writes this, why are the date time groups in that data not in chronological order? Okay. That's a question I have. Number four, why hasn't the data been sorted by state and county? As I've noted in my previous post, if you're going to argue that specific votes in specific counties and precincts were changed electronically, then any analyst worth their salt would aggregate the data by state and county. Thanks to the great work by Michigan lawyer DiPerno, we have the numbers of Antrim County. If Mary Fanning's data is sound, it should confirm what DiPerno found. That has not happened, at least not to my knowledge. And I know someone who spoke with DiPerno today, and he's seen no such data. So in other words, he's saying that Mary Fanning has not provided data that matches DiPerno's data that we know is real. So he concludes his piece by saying, the key to beating the lie that there was no election fraud is evidence. A documentary, electronic, and eyewitness. He concludes and says, the fact that Dennis Montgomery, according to Mary Fanning, is at the heart of this worries me. Okay. I agree. We have to have evidence that's irrefutable. But if some of this evidence has been obtained illegally, then it cannot be put out there, at least in a court of law. You can't use it as evidence. All right, so we'll go to the phones now. We'll start with Art again and then move on to another caller. Art, good morning again.
You knew who I was. Hey,
yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, after the first call, we're going to put your name back in there on your
phone
number.
Okay. Great.
That's how Phil knows who you are.
Okay, so number one, you know, Lindell has done a fantastic job of begging the question, has enough information to confirm some of the things that we definitely know. And what I find curious, Jeff, is that where's the lawsuit against Lindell, which he has been threatened with? I don't think they want to do that, because then you have discovery, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's going to be really interesting how this all plays out.
Well, it may take some time. It doesn't mean that he's not going to be sued. I mean, it took Dominion a couple of weeks to put together a lawsuit against Rudy Giuliani, and now they've sued Fox News. They've sued Newsmax. So they were giving them, I think, enough rope to hang themselves at least. But it gets back to the point we've talked about before, Art. When you sue someone, the other side has the right of discovery. They can reach into your business. They can reach into your emails. I know I've been a party to this. I had to provide emails, all of that stuff under penalty of law. So it's serious business. And if in fact Dominion is engaging in activities that's illegal here, like, for instance, in Antrim County, that DiPerno notes in the absolute proof video that the data logs were wiped clean. That's a federal law offense. Who did it and how did it happen? And if Dominion is a part of that, they're in deep jeopardy here. They've already been caught in a lie, their CEO, in testimony before the Michigan State Senate, under oath.
Oh, absolutely, Jeff. But make no mistake, the Democratic Party, Barack Obama, all this leads to them. And, you know, that's what's going to make this so interesting. Make no mistake, Barack Obama listened to people illegally, you know, confiscated emails from news media and stuff like that. I mean, he's a despicable person. But one more thing I wanted to say, Jeff, before the end of the show today. This thing with the prostitutions does not only hurt women, it hurts men. And young boys are being exploited as much as young girls. And you know, it all needs to definitely end. But this just isn't a female issue. It's a
You're right. It isn't. And those various organizations in Oregon, there's two of them that exist for the purposes of helping getting these youth out of this, the runaways especially, that get exploited and end up in sex work. A lot of boys are finding their way into this world too. And you're right about that. Thanks, Art. I appreciate it. Got to go another caller. Caller,
great
good
day,
morning.
Buddy.
Who are you and what do you have to say?
Hi, Jeff. Tim. I want to do this real quick. First of all, the hours. These are too early. When will voters who vote... I'm getting feedback. When will voters that didn't like Trump and voted for Democrats, when will they dislike Democrats? Two, what actions are the Republicans taking on these issues that you're talking about? And do they have a plan? And can you get access to it? You talk about persuading the persuadables. How do we persuade the Republicans?
That's a great question. And if you're talking about Republican leaders, Tim, are you talking about Republican leaders? Or you're just talking about Republicans in general.
Leaders.
Okay. You beat them over the head. It's the only thing they'll understand. You literally have to punch them in the face and wake them up. Or scare them so badly they actually do the right thing for a change. And you start with, well, Trump proved that, number one. Number two is you start exactly with what is happening against these 10 House Republicans that voted for impeachment. They need to get punched in the face politically by being defeated in primary elections. That's how you get Republican leaders to stand up and have the backbone to do the right thing. That's the first thing. The second thing is we, the people, communicate with them, like our county commissioners and others, that we're going to back them up if they're going to stand up to Kate Brown. We're going to back them up if they're going to stand up to Joe Biden. Because politicians are politicians. They just are weak in the knees. Most of the time, it's their nature. It's the rare person who has, and we have had some, that have the courage of their convictions. That's how you get Republican leaders to do the right thing. Thanks. It's a great question. 7:59, Stacey ends up next with Good Morning Salem. Thanks for listening, folks. I'll be back tomorrow, and I hope you will be too.